What's up, internet, and welcome to episode 69 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is
Tom Magrino,
Henry Gilbert,
Anthony Snyder,
Ryan Telger.
We're moving fast today.
We are moving fast. It's we have a lot to do.
Wait, what episode number is this?
69.
Okay, hold on.
Okay,
because
I'm ready.
Somebody in the comments
I'm ready for
this. Episode 69, what we have to do is have a shirtless hot dog eating contest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We didn't prepare for.
Well, we did that yesterday. It just didn't live stream.
Here's the thing. I brought a shirt, so that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And also, we have no hot dogs.
We don't have any hot dogs here.
I bet we could go to Costco. Sausage. We could go to Costco. We get $50 worth of hot dogs.
For how much
it's
money,
easy
though?
Enough.
$50?
I'm saying $50 worth of Costco hot dogs.
I think you meant how many.
That's got to be, what, it's like $1.50 per dog?
Yeah.
But that's if you're buying the ones that they make.
$75.
If we're cooking them ourselves, which we should be doing if we're having a shirtless hot dog eating contest.
I propose we have a shirtless bratwurst eating contest.
Oh,
I prefer the Polish sausage myself.
They're basically
Polish
the same
are good.
Thing.
Yeah. The Polish.
I don't know if I mentioned this before on here, but my favorite hot dog place in Berkeley is...
Yeah. What's up, Doc?
Why would that ever come
up? No, I want to know.
Well, it's called... it's Top Dog.
Top Dog.
Top Dog is
really
good.
But its weird thing is that the owner of the place really loves objectivism and the work of Ayn Rand, and so there's a lot of posters up all over the place.
So what I want to know right now is, what makes Top Dog the Top Dog?
This is quality ingredients.
Quality ingredients?
Yeah.
The objectivism?
Do you think they shop at Monterey Market or some local store?
I would hope they buy locally.
Berkeley Bowl.
Quality ingredients for a hot dog?
Yeah.
Isn't that just like a little bit better shit parts from a chicken? No, they get good.
I'm pretty sure the shit parts are the tastiest parts. Well, like the area around, you know, where...
The anus, a pig.
Yeah, the anus of
the
pig.
The stink star.
I believe that stuff goes in.
You just wash it out. It's not going to smell.
You wash out the balloon knot.
I'm pretty sure all that stuff does not go in the hot dog because they need something to put in Scrapple.
Scrapple.
Yes.
Mm. Or that pink paste that they substitute for meat.
What is that?
Oh, the meat
toothpaste.
Blob.
Meat paste. What is that called?
Who do they feed it to?
Well, it's a way to save money. People can't tell the difference. It tastes like regular meat, but really it's a nasty...
People are like...
It's the mold.
So they're buying a tube of meat. They're like, well, I can't tell the difference between this tube of meat and another tube of meat.
Right. Have you seen this fake meat that they're making now? It is meat.
Pink
it's
slime.
Called,
that's what it was.
It's called...
That's the meat blob.
That's like the worst name possible.
They're referring to it as schmeat.
Schmeat.
It's basically like stem cells, kind of. They just isolate a cell.
I heard about this.
And it grows meat off the cell. So no cruelty is involved, but you get meat without
killing
it.
It's essentially the same exact way that that a cow's body creates meat, except they just take some cells and do it. They did it, and they had like scientists just make a burger out of it.
Welcome to the future.
Yeah, somebody ate it.
What did they do? Did they vomit?
No, they're like, it needed to be, like, the only thing that's weird is there's no fat on it because there's no fat stem cell, but they had, like, food critics taste it, and they're like, yeah, it just tastes like a burger. So here's my question, because I've discussed this before with people.
Okay.
You can take a stem cell, create meat from it. Uh-huh. No one is hurt by doing that.
Right.
Would you eat a human? If that was done that way.
Soylent Green. What's the context?
Somebody comes up and says, like, hey, here is a steak made of human.
Yeah.
No human was at, like, it's made of you for all intents. Like, we took a stem cell, we made a steak. Do you eat it?
I mean,
do you take a bite?
I'd eat it.
I don't think so.
I'd take a bite.
I would try it. It's just like eating any other thing.
What if it's really good?
Yeah. Well, then
that's
now
problematic.
I mean, this is how zombies are made. This is the zombie outbreak.
Because
if you eat it, you're going to get...
cannibals are made.
And you're a cannibal.
Well, cannibals go crazy.
Only if
they
eat the brain.
It's like they get the mad cow for humans.
But that's only if there's a disease you get, but you don't get that from this because you don't get it from regular flesh.
Well, I mean, that's what the zombie manufacturing pharmaceutical company is telling you.
The zombie industrial complex?
Big Pharma.
Big
Pharma is going to tell you.
This is how Resident Evil starts.
It is how Resident Evil starts.
This is the prequel.
That's what you're talking about right now.
Why are we talking? Anyways.
The top seven. Yes. starting early next year, we're going to have some new fancy sound effects. Thank you for everyone who sent in sound effects.
We're talking about this because this conversation will test your friendships in a way that this week's top seven deals with games that test friendships.
The top seven games That will test your friendship.
Test your friendship.
Yes. We're going lo-fi this week. No laptop, just because
I don't know where it is.
It's so late in the year.
It was stolen.
It wasn't stolen. It's in fact.
It's at my desk. It's at my desk.
Oh.
But let's jump into the top seven games that will test your friendship, written by Zach, who is not here.
He's in France.
He's in France. France. Some people go to France.
France.
Starting with number seven, Left 4 Dead 2.
Mm. How will that test your friendship?
Number of ways. Have you played a lot of it?
I've played a little bit of it.
So that's a game that they build that game around the idea that you need to trust your friends. There are like the regular zombies, whatever. They're probably not going to bother you. But the special zombies, most of them have abilities that you require someone to help you with. The jockey jumps on your back and rides you around, and there's no way to get it off unless a friend shoots it off. The is it the whatever one that shoots the spitter shoots out like its tongue?
I thought that was a witch.
Yeah, the witch is the problem.
No, well, the witch is a problem, but the one actually like grabs you around the throat and drags you away.
Yeah.
The witch is the one that nobody should shoot.
Nobody.
But one of your asshole friends is going to shoot it.
Oh, you're being attacked. No, don't.
Yeah, it's especially when they added in Left 4 Dead 2, there's like there's a level that there are like dozens of witches in one area because witches are apparently attracted to sugar, and you go through like a sugar farm and there's just like dozens of witches and you have to pretty much like Metal Gear your way through it.
It's a nod to Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, and you just kind of have to walk slowly, but you always have a friend that. If you walk up to the witch and just shoot it in the face with a shotgun like three times, it's dead. Mm-hmm. If you miss one of those, you are dead and your team is dead. So I always would have the friend who was like, I got this. Don't worry about this. I know how to handle this situation. And
why would you ever want to touch? If you can just walk by the witch, why would you ever touch the witch?
Because it's funny.
Well, sometimes they would put gear.
Okay.
Near-ish.
So there's a...
But usually not.
Usually
you should just walk by. Also, there's the idea where, like, if you get a little distance away and zombies attack, you have to start shooting. It's almost like, I'd rather be careful. It's like how when I play stealth games, I just assassinate every single person so that eventually when I have to just start running, there
are
less people.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I would always have friends that would go out of their way in the last, like, 3 minutes of the match to try to find a way to be the only one to escape.
Right.
Like, did you have friends that would do that shit?
I did, yeah. They would just kind of leave you to die. And it's like, oh, cool, we're at the door, but I'm down right here, and there's no zombies around. Come save me. Nope, see you, nerd. And they close the door on me.
Or, like, there'd be the one where you have to, like, wait for the boat, and they'd run and jump onto the boat, which would start the countdown to when the boat is leaving, and then just not shoot any of the enemies near you.
Mm-hmm. You'd be left for dead.
Yeah.
I said that a second time because I think you guys missed.
I actually legitimately did miss it the first time.
I missed it the first time. When did
What was the first contest?
Yeah,
when he said they would leave you for dead. And I'd say, oh, you were left for dead.
So in other words, Ryan actually made the joke.
Okay.
I don't think he did it intentionally.
Reiterated the joke. We did not laugh at the joke.
No.
It was already established.
I don't think Ryan did it intentionally.
I did.
I don't think that was intentional wordplay.
So
I don't
you
think you're smart enough to make that kind of wordplay.
Underlined the point.
You were angry that no one got your joke that was just repeating Ryan's joke.
The third time, I think, was successful.
It's because Henry did that Henry smile where he's just like, he starts doing the you get it smile before the joke has even started.
I get too excited by my jokes.
Yeah. Number six on the top seven games that will test your friendship, a game that I'm guessing most of you didn't play, StarCraft 64.
This was one of the.
StarCraft.
I didn't own that many N64 games, but this was one of them. I don't understand
you poor,
why.
Unfortunate soul.
Yeah, I don't understand why I owned it. I certainly didn't play it that much.
I
played it a lot.
Yeah, and this entry really surprised me that it showed up in this list. I was like, oh yeah, that was a game that existed. But I think the point he brings up is really good. Yeah. If you're playing multiplayer, you can see what the other person is doing.
Yeah, I remember my brother and I distinctly getting in arguments over this. Like, you're looking at my screen. No, I'm not, I clearly was.
And that also holds true for any, like, multiplayer shooters or anything like that, but it's much different in an RTS where it's like, you know, even if somebody saw where you were in a shooter, you could still potentially kill them and no problem. But in this, it's like, you're seeing very important strategies here.
You're seeing which units you're building and when you're launching your attack. That is invaluable information.
I wonder whose decision. It was Rob Pardo's decision.
It had. You're just going to call it out?
It was Rob Pardo. He's like, you know what?
It's fine.
I'm young.
Fuck it.
I'm bad at my job.
I'm reckless. I'm
out of control.
They call it. They
split
said,
screen.
They said it couldn't be done. Split screen StarCraft on a console, but I showed them. I don't play by the rules.
Was this the last console game that they made?
for a while.
Well, I mean, remember there was Diablo 3 this year.
Well, I mean,
they I don't know if you know this, but Blizzard has console gaming in their DNA.
Because of StarCraft 64.
Because of Diablo 1.
Diablo 1 was on?
64.
Yeah, Diablo Vikings. 1 was on PS1.
Was it?
Yep.
Oh, I had no idea.
Diablo 2 never did it. StarCraft Ghost, obviously.
That was how I played
Diablo
1.
Coming soon, okay?
Did they?
Still got my hopes up.
Yeah. They went out of Diablo their way not to cancel that. Like, it took them a long... Like, it took them, like, 12 years to be like, yeah, we actually canceled it. Because for a while, they just said we weren't going to talk about it. But, yeah. StarCraft 2, you could look at your fucking teammate screen. And did you guys have friends that would always do that in any game you played?
I was that friend.
Yeah. You were?
It's like, oh,
I knew.
Oh, you're on the building.
Why would I not cheat?
No, I'm not.
There's no reason not to cheat.
Where was I sniped from? Oh, right there. Okay, run. Yeah.
I'd try not to, but it's, man, is it hard not to. Just in your, like, you're
especially.
Looking at a TV, a fraction of a TV. It's impossible not to see part of it.
Did you ever see those pictures online of people who would make make their own dividers for like high level perfect dark and gold I play. It was just a split four divider with like I think like tin foil on the inside as a reflector or something to keep your eyes on your own screen.
I never did it, but I saw a lot of people that would like they'd take like a cardboard divider for games that were vertical and one person would sit on the couch and get the top half and somebody else would put the cardboard divider and then like a blanket and just sit under the blanket to play. It's great that so many people love to like sing wonderful nostalgic songs of the past of gaming when competitive console gaming was that.
So have you ever played a game with a blanket over draped over your head?
No.
I have.
Yes.
Was it EverQuest?
It was EverQuest. It was running. I'm trying to remember that forest. It's like Farrat Forest or something where it's super dark. And if I was playing in the middle of the day, the screen glare made it so I couldn't see where I was going. So I draped a blanket over
my head. You know what I used to do? I would just block the windows.
Oh. I didn't have that.
That was much easier.
I didn't have that luxury.
Well, when I was playing, it was mostly in the basement, and we'd have those little tiny half windows, and you just shove a pillow up there, and problem solved.
I at one point took a little piece of a Post-it note, and put like red marker on it, and then put it directly in the middle of my screen, so I could no-scope better in Counter-Strike. Which is
An entire Post-it note?
Like just the corner, like a little, like the size of a reticule, in the middle of your screen, because it wouldn't show up. In other words, we're all filthy cheaters.
Yeah,
I just stayed.
I wasn't a cheater. I was just trying to find my way in the dark. It's not cheating.
I mean, we could still say that about you. You're still trying to find your way
find
in the dark.
Find my way in the dark.
Number five, another split-screen game, though one that doesn't really punish you for looking at people's screens. Any Mario Kart game. We'll say the most recent one, but it really doesn't matter. Any of them qualify.
Yeah.
It seems that Mario Kart or Mario games, like, they're almost half this list. They all infuriate
people. We had
discussions
about not doing that, but it came down to, like, when you see the games that are on here, it's like these are the definition of this list. Nintendo is really good at making games that make people angry, which is weird.
I think the thing behind Mario Kart is that Nintendo, they have good intentions. They want anybody to feel like they can win. And that's definitely what it is in Mario Kart. They're like, well, what if somebody's not as good a driver as everybody else? They should have a chance to get in first. Mm-hmm. Okay, and there's this sliding scale of giving you better and better items the farther back you are.
Right.
And then you'll just get the blue shell, which is an unstoppable heat-seeking missile that will destroy the person in first.
Yes.
And just send them back to, like, sixth place.
If you're in Mario Kart, the most dangerous place to be is barely in first. If you're, like, well in first, you're fine. But if you pass somebody and see first place, you might as well just slam on the brakes.
It seems like a kind of a bad design decision to have the blue shell in the game.
Again, it's
Nintendo. Like a last resort.
Nintendo doesn't want, just because you're the best driver doesn't mean you should win. Like, that's the idea of it.
I want them to, you've never been able to turn it off, could you?
No, they don't give you item select in it. And then the thing that made it more terrible as time went on is that at first it was, I remember it was this blue spiky shell that couldn't fly in Mario Kart 64. So
everyone?
It could still fall off the map, but then they gave it wings so it could fly after you.
And then they keep making the explosion bigger.
Then they gave it an AOE explosion that could actually hit like three people at once or if it was tight at the front. Mm-hmm. So it just got crueler and crueler.
Yeah.
And
that's what I would end up doing. If there was a blue shell in the way, I would try to find second place, slow down,
Which is interesting.
Collateral damage.
So they do. There is like a, there is somewhat of an element of strategy, and there are very rare instances where you can avoid it by like boosting off of something at the perfect time. Like
it's
sometimes
not impossible.
Sometimes what I'll do is if I see one is about to hit me and I'm really close to like a boost pad, I'll slow down so it hits me, but then I'm immediately on the boost pad so I don't lose time. But it's rough, man.
I mean, I think the thing that's so awful about it is because it's a very personal attack. Like, the lightning bolt, it hits everyone indiscriminately.
Everyone in front of you.
The star, if you know you miss somebody, you're going to miss people. People have the opportunity to dodge it. No big deal. But the
NBD.
Blue shell is just like a...
It's a son of a
cruel.
Bitch.
It's punitive is what it is.
I hope that in the next one they just have, like in Smash Brothers, the ability to turn off and on certain items. It would make things... really nice.
And it is so infuriating when your friend just lobs one at you and you're like, come the fuck on, like beat me for real, asshole.
Yeah, 1v1 me.
Yeah, 1v1 in the middle of the river.
Right.
And it also is just crazy. Like,
how did League not get on this?
That's what I was saying.
I don't know.
That was a mistake.
I emailed and said, hey, you should put League on this list.
Yeah.
I emailed and said you should put Monaco on this list. Because when we live streamed Monaco, you were, Tom, a filthy asshole. Because we would just be like, okay, I'm going to dig a hole through this wall. And you'd be like, but I can just run through here. Yep. Alarm, 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 alarm.
I'm at the end.
I'm at the end. Why are you guys all dead? Because the alarms tripped after
bring
you
me back
son
to
of
life.
A
no.
Fucking.
No. Whatevs. Peace out.
But next on the list is a game that has probably made me more physically angry than any game on
this
list. New Super Mario Bros. U.
Bullshit.
Well, this goes for the Wii version as well.
The Wii version,
I would say, is multiplayer. This game is actively unfun.
The not the most recent one.
Yeah.
The one that was the one that launched with the Wii.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah.
That game is if you're playing it with two people, you might have a good time. If you're playing it with three or four people, it's a garbage game for babies.
Because you can jump on other people.
Yes.
You all occupy physical space, so you just bump into each other.
On a 2D plane.
And so, invariably, you are going to jump on someone, they're going to lose all forward momentum, and they're going to fall down a hole or get...
They could be like an extra dick to you and just pick you up and throw you off the stage.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and the thing that made me physically angry is playing this with my wife. There's the gamepad functionality, which is made to help people by letting you tap and create a block that they can jump on. And maybe three or four times throughout the game, she would help me by making a block. More frequently, I'd be running and jumping through the level, and you can just put a block in front of somebody right at the end of a gap. So they just hit the gap and fall into the hole. And she did that a lot.
Yep. She doesn't like you.
She does not like me. I remember I think I told this story, but I was playing it and I said, I'm like, there was a level where you could, if you tapped the platform that I was on, you would stop the platform from moving. And it was a level where there was a platform moving slowly through like an area with a bunch of fireballs falling down. And I had died so many times because she would just stop my thing under fireballs and make it so I couldn't stop it. And I said, I'm like, just please don't do that again. I really want to get past this level. And she did it again. And I remember putting down the controller.
And hitting her.
No. Looking over at her and saying, and I remember exactly what I said, I will never hit you. But I understand why men hit their wives.
Wow. I think that's even more fucked up.
I was like, I'm like, because I said, I'm like, I have right now, I know why people would do this. And I know that if I'm not doing it right now, nothing will ever make me angrier than I am at this exact second.
And that's the first time you threatened domestic abuse with your wife.
No, I didn't threaten. I told her it would never happen.
Right.
And then I did what most adults do when they lose in a video game, punch themselves in the inner thigh really hard over and over again.
That's what I do.
You got to be careful with that because you get your
blood
clot. Dangerous zone there.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you miss.
You can inadvertently nutshot yourself.
Is
that where you're going with that?
I've never thought of that. But, Ryan, how pissed would you be if you're playing Battlefield, you miss a shot, you get angry and start punching yourself in the leg, miss, and just punch yourself in the nuts?
Oh, man, that'd be really
God, it would be the worst day.
Because I usually hit myself really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I've never hit myself.
I've thrown the controller against the wall, and it bounced back, and then it nutshotted me. That was not
See, I've never done that, but I just punched, like, right on, like, a little to the right of the top of your thigh. Just punching as hard as you
feel
can.
Feel alive.
I've done that.
No, actually.
Catharsis.
It actually just kind of hurts.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I really shouldn't have done that.
It's just like cutting.
So
I was playing one of the late levels.
To divert the pain.
No.
What?
So you feel. You have control.
Yeah. There it is.
Was just playing one of the late levels in Mario 3D World and died and got so angry I bit my Wii Pad.
Are there bite marks?
There's one tooth bite mark.
A tooth mark.
I haven't done that, but what I do is I just wring the controller in my hand, like just squeeze and kind of twist back and forth.
Sometimes if Cindy's nearby, I'll bite her.
Uh-huh.
Really?
But that's about the extent of
your domestic abuse.
Right.
I just go, oh, this controller is expensive.
Yeah, they really have made it so you can't throw controllers anymore.
Damn.
Yeah. Just by making them too pricey.
I mean, the Wii has a wrist strap.
Yeah. Oh.
I hate that every demo where you play a Wii U game with Nintendo, they're like, or something with the remote, they're like, all right, come on, put it on. I was like,
we can
really
do this, but you're going to have to put this on first.
I think the reason is not because they worry about you, but they're worried that someone's going to take a picture and then it be like, look, Nintendo's telling people they don't have to use it, which is
class
the most ridiculous fear ever.
Number 10.
Three.
There aren't
just make up a number. Make up a number right now.
Number three. Double Dragon, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade, or any arcade beat-em-up with friendly fire in particular.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough that people will always steal the garbage can turkeys like when you really need it.
Yeah.
But it's worse when they keep fucking with you by punching in the head in the game.
In the game.
I was always the turkey thief in this situation. Yeah. Well, because
I'm usually a turkey thief as well.
What I would say, I would say it after I ate it, which is like, well, we could have discussed this, but I saw I had less health than you, so I knew we would agree that I should just have it, so I ate it.
And that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
That other person was just going to waste it anyway.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They just wanted the extra points.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
me. I usually
you, so
I
you, you're,
first,
you're the
tur- I
you're
it.
The turkey thief.
I am
at a deficit to your team.
I just go, oops, sorry, oops, sorry. You can get the next one.
Oh,
next,
ooh, I do that too.
The next one never pops up until the boss.
Yeah,
it's
dude,
too
I'm
late.
Sorry. I forgot. I didn't look. I didn't see how my mind is like. I didn't see how low your health was. Yeah. I didn't
That's my
see.
Favorite line.
I have said that too.
Yeah, I'd be AFK intentionally feeding.
If I saw an apple, I would eat that because it's one of the lesser ones. Mm. I would just go like, I'm just eating this before they notice it was on the screen.
The real question is, why do they have turkeys and apples in garbage cans?
What do you do when you're done with your turkey or apple?
Probably.
Yeah, throw it away.
A Games Radar feature about
this. And why are the characters eating them?
I think we do. It's like the dumbest things in trash cans. It may have been after Bioshock because of all the cakes and pineapples. Yep.
Did you guys ever call Extra Lives rests?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
I called them guys.
No. Called them what up?
Or dudes.
Lives. I mean, everyone called them extra lives or guys or whatever, but my cousins and I used to call them rests. And I'm pretty sure...
R-E-S-T?
Yes. And I'm pretty sure that one of the Ninja Turtle games actually called them rests in the corner of the screen.
I wouldn't be surprised because that seems like a really poor translation mistake.
What do you have, rest?
I don't know why they would do it. I'm just saying I could see like an NES game being like rests. That's the same as the word for living. Yeah. Resting.
I think the one that made me the most angry with this were that when it was at in the arcades, not in a home version, but when it was like you have money on this. Like this cost you a quarter.
It's your quarter, man.
And the more damage you take, like you're going to lose that quarter. You're going to have to spend another one. Or, well, you were lucky if it was just one quarter. But I think the one that made me the most mad was it was in when playing with my brother and a couple friends was the X-Men game. Because
which one?
You could hit the arcade one with all the one that you could have up to six players, Welcome to Die, that one. And you could hit each other, and you could also throw enemies and hit other people with those. And doing your special move, which was the cool move, took energy away from you as well.
Yeah.
Like, so you were in such an energy deficit.
You ever play the X-Men game for the Genesis?
Yes.
I played that.
Which one?
The first one.
Danger Room?
Right? Yeah, the one where you're in the danger room and you can't figure out how to get to the next level.
That game is awesome.
Isn't that the one where you need to like do a soft reset of your game to get through one level?
And if you use Wolverine too much, he goes crazy and he just slices everybody.
Oh, really?
If you use it too much, it goes low and then he just goes, ah!
I'd like to, what was that guy?
Wait, hold on. What does he get? What does he go?
He goes,
ah! Thank you. I just wanted to double check.
Nightwalker? That's not right.
Nightcrawler
in that game is awesome. That game is fucking awesome.
If you could control the teleport.
The game was really hard.
It was super hard. I don't think I beat it.
Sega internally developed a lot of its licensed games at first. They did that with the Spider-Man game because they knew the Genesis needed...
Shit, we should play this game.
The Genesis needed a lot of help, and so they just... They bought every license they could until they found a good one. They're like, oh, Tommy Lasorda's Baseball. Let's get that. Let's Riddick Bowe is the current champion in boxing. Let's hire this guy. Like, all these type things. And also Joe Montana. They got him, too. Until they finally... And then Spider-Man, Mickey Mouse, until they finally, like, hit their groove with Sonic.
Was it Castle of Illusion? Or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it was the one where it's two players.
The one with Donald?
Yeah, with Donald. That was a good game.
World of Illusion.
That was
the one I liked more. I didn't care for Castle. That's the one where the first level where you have a cape and the first level is like you're fighting leaves. I fucking love that game.
That was a really good game.
I know Justin Towle really loves Castle of Illusion, but I just could not get back into it.
I loved it back then. It's a rough game. Number two on the list of games that will test your friendship, Portal 2.
Prepare.
See, I didn't have that much of a testing experience playing this in co-op because for me, the friend I was playing with, we both wanted to get through the game. And so it was pretty easy.
I think the idea is if your friend isn't
as good at
the game as you are,
then...
So this is a game that requires you to not only have puzzle solving skills, but...
Timing
and coordination. None of which do I have with any other human.
Horrible at Portal. What are you doing? Wait, I got it.
I believe that because somebody in the comments mentioned it in the top seven, but when me, you, and Ryan were playing Wolfpack mode in Assassin's Creed at like 3 in the morning, and I'd be like, all right, let's do this. 1, 2, 3, assassinate. Yeah, Ryan and I would both jump from buildings and assassinate, and I'd hear you go like, wait, where are you guys? And I see you just like standing on the opposite side of the map, like just walking, and I'm just like, damn it, Anthony, we're gonna lose this match. So
I got it at the end though.
At the end, it all came together.
I was like, wait, huh? Where
you going? But yeah, this game if you don't have good coordination, it is damn near impossible to get through any of the levels. Mm-hmm. Especially because it felt like they were like, well, the single player, we don't want to make it too hard. Everyone should be able to get through it. But the co-op, they're allowed to make a little more difficult.
Well, I think they expected people to do the co-op after the
first. So it was almost like in Mario games how you get like the pro skill levels after you beat the regular game. Mm-hmm. That was essentially this, and you had to rely on your friend being smart. Tough business.
Relying on people being smart. Rough.
I feel like we should swap out number one for Leak.
How about we swap out Portal 2 for Leak?
Yeah.
Let's swap out Portal 2 for Leak.
Let's talk about Leak for a second.
Here are the reasons why League will make you hate your friends.
Or test your friendship.
One, you could be having a perfectly... You could just have a game, and you lose your lane. And everyone hates you because of that. Like, you could just be like, oh, I just got beat hard. But you're going to make the rest of your team lose. And it's not really even your fault, but your friends are going to hate you because you've made them lose. And you're basically wasting the next 30 minutes of their lives.
Yeah.
I think that's the key. The thing that makes League of Legends such a game that entices people to be filled with hatred... And to make you so angry is you sometimes know 5 minutes in, like, yeah, this is going to be a rough hour.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stop playing, and the next hour is going to be miserable for me and everyone else involved.
Yeah. And all it takes is one terrible person. And if you happen to be playing with a group of five or four other friends, and one of you is bad, you're going to harbor some resentment.
Right.
It's a wrap.
And there's also this element of, like, that game requires, like, you're making a lot of very fast decisions each match. And not all of those... Most of those decisions are going to be very, very poor decisions.
Yes. Or at least look like them. Like, there was a time where I was playing, and I was just playing as Nidalee. Yeah. It was the ability to, for people who don't know, when she can heal herself when she's in human form or do a dive that makes her go further when she's in cat form. And you can switch between them. And there are times where it's like I was running away from an enemy. I had very low health. I was in my cat form, and I said, "You know what? I can probably I could probably dodge him by jumping instead of turning into my human form and healing." So I did that, and I died, and my entire team yelled at me, like, you should have done this other thing. And it's like, I thought of that, but you weren't there for the entire time to know it, and now you're looking at me like I'm a fucking idiot for not doing that thing, even though the outcome would have been exactly the same, and you probably would have been telling me to do the other thing if I did the thing you said to do.
Yeah.
Yep. I can count any number of times where me, as the jungler, is like, all right, I'm about to fucking initiate, and I go in, and nobody follows me at all. Because the other thing about that game is like you can't communicate you can kind of communicate with people, but when you really need to communicate with people, like, you can't just say, like, all right, I'm going, unless they're in the room. You can ping them, but you can't just say, all right, let's go.
It's amazing that they haven't added a voice client built in to that game. I don't know why they wouldn't do that. With so many people...
I wouldn't even want any part of it. If I were playing with a random group of people, I would immediately mute them all.
It would be all custom.
Because all they'd do is call you names and be assholes on voice chat now.
See, I don't know, because when I've played games that I've had built-in voice chat on PC... And again, like when I've played MMOs that have had built-in voice chat, it usually led to a better community.
Well, I mean, that's why the Heroes of New Earth guys, their new MOBA that they're making, Strife, they're like, yeah, we're not putting voice chat in this. Because that's what they have in Han. And they're like, yeah, people are just fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. And so we're done with that. No more voice chat for us.
Plus, I'd imagine it's a fairly intensive bandwidth thing.
And I would also say, too, like, it's a different environment because this game is just all competition, whereas MMOs are a bit more laid back. And even if you're doing high-end raiding or something, or PvP, by then you're in a guild with people that you've probably been playing with for a while.
Right. Yeah.
In League, it's all casual encounters.
Casual encounters with people that fucking hate you.
They really are miserable, just despicable.
So that's number 1.5.
Yep.
Number one on the list, the game that will test your friendship the most for a very similar reason that Mario Kart will, is Mario Party.
Mario Party is basically Blue Shell the game.
Yes.
I saw it was best summed up by Penny Arcade a long time ago. They made fun of a Mario Party
is
game.
Penny Arcade still around?
Yeah.
They're more successful than ever, even though people don't like them. And they're creating a diversity ghetto that they're putting people into.
A diversity ghetto.
Diversity lounge.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's where you know, people can be diverse away from everybody else. Go over there.
Or it's a place where you can go to learn about why you need to learn more about diversity.
All right. I'm sorry.
There was a press release that just said, like, at PAX there's going to be obviously, everyone can go anywhere, but there's going to be a section where you can go to learn about, like, because there have been problems with the Penny Arcade authors and artists and community. So it's just you can go there and, like, essentially, like, a fucking diversity fair.
Right. Where they'll just be hanging out with gay people and transgender people and ethnic people and.
Yeah. And trying. And that. And people.
Is that more offensive or less offensive?
I was making fun of it. I think it is. Who knows how it will actually play out in reality. It is nice in spirit, but it is also easy to make fun of it, of like that it's friendly segregation or something. Like, but this is all beside the point.
But they
it's
did
back.
They did a comic.
It's back.
They did an old separate but equal. They did an old Penny Arcade comic about Mario Party that summed up Mario Party as. You play a game for 60 minutes to then at the end flip a coin. And whoever wins that coin flip is the winner.
Yeah, because you don't know which stars they're going to give out at the end in the bonus stage.
Or just take them away. Yeah. And you can have 5 stars to everyone else's 0. And you will just land on a Bowser square. And Bowser's like, this is a square where I take all your stars. Rip. See ya. That was it. Like, that's just the end of it.
Or even worse than that, you can be like, you can have 5 stars to somebody else's 3 stars, and then somebody else has like 1. And at the end, they're like, you, guy with 1 star, you landed on the most red spaces. Here's a star. You also lost the most games. That's a shame. Here's a star. You won the most games. Come on, bro. Stop being a dick. I'm taking away a star. And then at the end, you're like, how did I lose to the guy who was losing?
Yeah, or someone will land on just a star that's like, or a space that is, take whoever star you want. And you do that to a friend of just like, well, you have the most stars, so I'm taking 2 of those. Like, but I earned those stars. Yeah. It's so hard to get
I earned them through mini games that required, like, there are elements of that game that require skill, and then there are die rolls. And then there are die rolls that can counteract the things that require skill.
Yes.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
And yet still,
giant middle finger.
When it's done well, I don't feel like it makes me that. It makes me really angry, but I'm usually laughing through my rage.
Because what else can you do?
Yes.
Laugh?
And
you can't kill your friends.
No.
They know who you are.
Yeah, I didn't play the 3DS one, but Mario Party 9 did try to put more for the Wii. Did try to put a little more skill into it. And they also, one of the biggest problems with old Mario Parties that made them last for fucking ever was that they were these giant boards and that you and your friends were totally separate on. You were just everywhere on the map. You couldn't even remember where you were. But then Mario Party 9, like, just put you all in the same buggy. that just went through the map together, and everybody's die roll just moved it forward at once.
Yeah, like, the 3DS one is technically more like the old ones in that everybody's it's like a normal board game where everybody rolls and moves along themselves, except mm-hmm. the boards are just really fucking small. But it also has a moment that I think best defines that entire experience in game, where you, like, after there's a board that's only like 40 spaces, you can get there in like 6 turns, mm-hmm. and you'll start going, and near the end there's just a bunch of Goombas standing there, and you get to this fork in the road, and they and Toad shows up, and he's just like, are you gonna go to the left where the exit is, or the right where there are a bunch of Bowser spaces? It all comes down to luck. And then the Goombas just spin and send you in one of those two locations. And I played that map a few times, and anytime somebody went in the bad path, they just lost hard. Like, no chance of success.
Ugh, gross.
So that puts you on, and then you're competing against your friends. You're already on edge, and then by this cruel game that's dressed up as the happiest fun time yeah. ever, and then your friends are laughing at you.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, and that's why it is the number one game that will test your friendship. You can check out a new top 7 every week on GamesRadar.com, and we will be right back with current events. Welcome back. The second segment of Radio Radar, episode 69. We've lost Orion, but gained
a Lucas.
Hi, how's Lucas. How you doing?
Good.
How's the things you hate or things that annoy us about Steam sales?
It's going well.
What's the number one thing that annoys us about Steam sales?
It's not ranked, per se.
What is your number
I
one?
I know
personal
that
number one.
People will have their own personal number ones on this list. Mine is probably the one of having so many games mm-hmm. that I know I will never play.
Never.
That I just bought because they were on sale. Mm-hmm. I think that's
almost like
that
knowing
goes for a lot of
when you click like confirm purchase, like I will never play this
yes.
game, and not knowing why you're doing it even.
It's good intentions.
You, it's the like, hope yeah. that yes. one day, because the game you're probably buying is probably worth playing.
Yes. Yeah. You're at least supporting developers that make games. That's almost like, I may not play this game, but I want you to make another game that I might play.
Right.
So here is $1.75 that Steam is going to take
75 cents
of.
You get a dollar. Here's a dollar. Here's a free dollar. They're
free
basically
dollar.
Like a hobo in the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you should read
I would
that,
never give
that
a dollar
article
to a hobo.
On our website. Yeah. It'll be live by the time you're
the
here.
Hobo on the street.
Yes. Mine is every Steam sale when I forget that I don't own the original Deus Ex and it shows up for like $2 and I get all excited and I'm like, I've meant to play this. And then I go to try to buy it and it won't let me because I bought it like 4 years ago during a Steam sale and I've tried to buy it at almost every Steam sale.
Say, oh, gosh. Rats.
I'm never
rats.
Going to play the original Half-Life. I own it.
That's a great game. You
I'm
should play that.
Sure, it is.
Keep hearing that.
Maybe you can play Black Mesa when that comes out.
I think it's
whenever
out.
That comes
I think
out.
It's out.
Is it?
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Somebody just full on remade it.
Oh, good.
With Valve's approval.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they're just never gonna.
Well, other game I'm not gonna play? Uplink.
I bought me.
I tried. Yeah, I tried to. Play. I
that
bought
the
that during
one?
A Steam sale, and I was like,
was a Steam
I don't want to play this.
I bought
this
the whole.
Stupid.
I forget the studio. Uplink, Darwinia, and
Darwinia and Multiwinia.
Multiwinia.
It's the sequel.
Bottom
all. Is
never
Uplink the one where you're a hacker?
Yeah.
One day I walked in and my wife was like, I don't know why I own this game, but I've been playing it for 4 hours, and I think I'm about to understand how to play it.
What game?
Well, I think Uplink.
Oh, Uplink.
It's just like where you're like, oh, somebody's backtracing my hack. I don't know if this is good or bad. Good times.
Anyway.
Have you bought anything yet today?
Yeah, I bought Singularity because that shiz has been on my wish list forever.
How much is it?
How much?
It's not much cheaper. 25% off. $22.49.
I would wait for $7.50.
Too late. Yeah. It's already been bought.
$7.49. $4.99. That's my single
the
price.
Die is cast.
It is.
That's one of the most overlooked games of this generation, I'd say.
It sure is.
Overlooked games of this generation? Mm-hmm. There are how many of these games?
I bet there's at least 100 of them.
99 others.
Yes.
In addition to Singularity.
Where could I find out what those other 99 are?
GamesRadar.com/most
most
dash overlooked.
Most dash overlooked.
Does it say 50 in the URL?
I think it's just most dash overlooked dash games.
Oh, okay. Because people will be searching for Overlook games.
Overlook Hotel.
Overlook Hotel.
So let's jump into the. This was a slow news week. Sale is one of the big ones. What?
There was a. There was one big news day.
The Nintendo
Wednesday
thing.
Morning.
I know that's written down. I was going to say, except for the Nintendo Direct.
Sorry. Jump the gun on your sentence.
You did. It's
I
all good.
Let you finish saying your sentence.
So yeah, a bunch of stuff was announced from a Nintendo Direct, including Rosalina and Luma being added to Smash Brothers as a duo character of sorts.
Is this exciting for you guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't be excited because I don't care about Rosalina, but her move set looks.
Where
ridiculous.
Is Rosalina from?
Super Mario
also a
Galaxy.
Question I have. Jesus Christ. Oh, kept with the time.
I seriously never played
it. It's another Mario character in a game that is full of Mario characters, so that doesn't seem fair in the scheme of things for Nintendo franchises. But
what's her abilities?
She has space magic and also a fat little star that backs her up and hits people.
It feels like if that star touches anyone, they should immediately die because it is a star and I hear their heart.
Yeah.
Were you going to ask something?
No. Oh. I was laughing.
She's
I
like Lulu.
Okay.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So we don't really know exactly how she works yet because we watched the trailer a few times.
I can imagine
an episode.
She will embiggen someone.
Oh, hugify.
Nope.
Hugify.
Nope, that doesn't happen.
Hugify!
But yeah, they either control at the same time like... the ice climbers, or it looks like you can break them into two different characters sometimes, maybe.
I feel like controlling Luma would be... He's so tiny.
Well, the thing is, I think it looks like you can... You know how with the ice climbers, you control one of them and the other's AI controlled?
Right.
There's some speculation that you can just choose if you want to do one or the other, and then switch between them at any time.
Ooh.
It's kind of cray.
Ooh.
Yeah, kind of cray. And it was good in the video they show, like, Donkey Kong picks up Rosalina and goes to throw her, and then she's totally helpless, but Luma, like, comes flying in and attacks. So
I like that chirp they make. It's like...
Yeah. Also, since you mentioned Nana and Popo, to go back to League of Legends, the character Nunu is probably a reference to Ice Climbers because it mentions that Nunu's parents died in like an avalanche or something, and that's when he was found by a Yeti. And it's Nana, Popo, and Nunu, because Nunu is the name of the kid, not the Yeti. And there are Yeti enemies in Ice Climbers, so it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
You're fascinated.
This is a good theory.
Now you should play. Wait, you should start playing Ice Climbers
because
it's essentially
Nunu.
A prequel.
Nunu is a horribly boring champion.
You could buy it for $5 on Wii U Virtual Console. See Ice Climber in HD.
That's way too expensive.
I know they charge way too much for stuff, including I think they are charging too much for NES
Remix.
One of the other things they announced.
I think that looks kind of cool. I mean, it's basically WarioWare.
But $15?
Hell no.
And the reviews I've read say that it is very lacking in content.
Yes.
It came out yesterday.
What?
The hands-on reviews.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was one. I like when they announce stuff. They're like, and here's this new game. It's out now. Just go down. And
good
then
job.
There's Dr. Luigi, which is also going to be $15.
Yeah, dog. I'll buy that, but it really shouldn't be $15.
I want to put Sophia's claim that she is godlike at Dr. Mario to the test.
Why won't you just let her have that?
Because I'm a competitive guy, Tom. I like to be the best.
She was pretty good at Tetris, better than you.
Oh, that's true. I got destroyed when we played Tetris DS 8 player.
It was usually Sophia and me, and then she would destroy me. Like, I'd be like, yes, it's just me and one other person. And then I'd notice that I'm, like, close to the top, and Sophia has not a single block on her screen, and everyone else is dead. And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, rats.
But, yeah, those were both announced, as was Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, boy.
A point of contention within this very office.
It was a confusing start to the thing.
Is anybody even remotely interested or excited in playing this
game? You got two of them.
I'm excited to see how bad it's going to be.
There's no reason to think it will be bad because Nintendo doesn't really let its spin-off games be that bad.
They let Metroid Other M be not... awesome.
Oh, Zelda Wand of Gamelon.
That's not fair.
Warriors game, any Warriors game, and there have been several spin-offs of the Warriors franchise, have any of them been A...
exceptionally good?
Different.
No. Yes.
Other than reskins. B...
rats.
At all enjoyable.
I would say...
even remotely.
So
for over... 15 minutes.
I like Warriors games, all right. I've reviewed a few of them.
You like them.
I wouldn't even go that far. But I would say that they are fun for a few hours, and it just gets kind of monotonous. And they're also easy to hate because
they're terrible.
Koei treats them with a lot of cynicism because they're just like, well, just call it Extreme Legends, put out another one. Yeah. Like, they put out eight, or they put out seven. They put out seven Extreme Legends. And then they put out eight, all in the span of, like, 18 months. Mm-hmm. And they try to pretend, oh, eight's different from seven.
This works for Street Fighter. New I don't see why I can't work for
this. Oh, gosh.
But
that's a different story.
I do enjoy the Warriors games on a certain level. They are. Yeah. It's fun to see a lot of enemies on screen.
Well, yeah, I feel like. So this is kind of transitioning to the point here. They're not fun over here. They're immensely popular in Japan, where people apparently like hitting the same button over and over again.
Bladed Falcon made a good analogy in that Dynasty Warriors is the Call of Duty of Japan. No matter how stupid or crappy it is, people go and buy it in droves.
I feel like Monster Hunter is more the Call of Duty of Japan.
Well, Monster Hunter is more the World of Warcraft of Japan.
Okay, that's fair.
Look, we can make equivalencies all day.
We can, actually.
Every analogy is a false analogy.
Like, this analogy is
through a
tar like
pit.
So the reason I'm excited for it is because if you sit me down with a Dynasty Warriors game, mm-hmm. I'll have fun for an hour or two, mm-hmm. and then I'll stop. But I feel like one of the reasons I never give a shit about them is because the stories are nonsense, and they're expecting me to be like, they're like,
what?
Hey, you're playing as
Shinbobo. He's got
Shinbobo, who's actually a reference to a guy mentioned in a story about an emperor in China.
Seventh century.
Yeah.
And
he's fighting miscellaneous other Chinese emperors.
Chiang Kai-shek.
Yeah, and I'm
wow.
just like, and
well,
I'm like, and I'm like, I don't care about any of these things. Uh-huh. But once you swap those out for names I know.
Zelda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's Link. In Japan, like the Romance of Three Kingdoms is a very famous book. Well, not even book, just like legend.
Everybody
TV knows.
Show made in China is Romance of Three Kingdoms.
Well, sometimes it's Journey to the West.
I'd say it's probably like that's like they probably look at things like God of War and they're like, really? You guys are watching and playing another thing about Greek or Roman yeah. mythology? Yeah. That's essentially
the,
what
oh,
it
the
is.
Apocalypse
say,
again.
Yeah. I would say God of War is our kingdoms, yeah. or Warriors games.
I'd say just Greek mythology. Yeah, just that Greek or Roman mythology because they're the same fucking thing.
I hate God of War games.
Yeah, really?
Same.
I recently rewatched Hercules, and because of playing God Hercules? Of War games, the Disney
Sorbo?
One, I was rewatching the Disney movie, and because of God of War, every time Hercules was on, or not Hercules, every time Zeus was on screen, I'm just like, you motherfucker.
You fucking
I know you're a villain. I know you're pretending
they
to be good right
Zeus
here.
Zeus way too much. Zeus in the old books. Old books.
Why don't you turn into a swan and
rape
somebody?
He's a bit of a rapist.
Turn into a swan and rape a puddle of mud. It's essentially what Zeus did every day.
At least Athena got him by exploding out of his brain. made him pay for that.
I got you good.
Okay, but
explode
yeah,
out of your brain.
Here, the thing with Hyrule Warriors is that it is totally for the Japanese market. Like, it's not for America. It's an afterthought in America. Like, you could totally even see that in the trailer that they played. Like, it was a ton of gameplay footage that I thought the characters looked great, but like when it panned across the ground of Hyrule Field, I was like, this looks blocky and crap. Like
yeah, the characters Warriors looked world. Awesome.
But then at the end, so Link opens the case, he opens a treasure chest, picks something out, and when he's lifting it up to the screen, as Link always does, it goes to white, or it starts to blast to white. And that, in the Japanese Nintendo Direct, is when they show the official name for it, Zelda Musou. Musou is the name of the franchise there. It's always blank Musou.
So it's like it's essentially Zelda Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, that is what it is. But then when he does that on the American and UK feeds, starts to go to white, then smash to black, and it says Hyrule Warriors, not final title.
With crappy last minute like white text on a black background.
They were clearly like the day before Nintendo said, hey, we got this trailer, deal with it. They're like, well, what should we even call it? And so yeah, it definitely, but the Warrior games, I think they had kind of a boom in the early PS2 era because they were one of the first. Dynasty Warriors 2 was one of the first games like that could show off the PS2 just by having hundreds
and
of dudes on screen.
It was hella more fun than Kessen.
Yeah, but they sold pretty well. But now they don't sell at all in America. But like as I told Donnie, or as I coached Donnie in his piece on this yesterday, though he did a good job on it in ways I did not expect. But I brought up to him that
not Donnie
weirdly.
What I meant was he didn't just repeat everything I told him to repeat.
Right.
Like he had his own commentary on it, which I like.
He thought for himself.
Exactly.
What a guy.
But yeah, that even a Dynasty Warriors spinoff based on One Piece anime, like it sold 800,000 copies in Japan on the PS3. The Gundam spinoffs sell crazy there. Like spinoff warrior games are a huge franchise in Japan, so of course Nintendo wants their own, you know, exclusive spinoff for it. It'll get people to buy them to buy a Wii U in Japan.
And I think there's probably so little localization that's actually necessary, especially in like a Zelda game where the main character's not going to speak, that well, we're making it.
Those games have a ton of spoken dialogue. How are they going to get around Link not speaking?
Well, Nintendo games don't have spoken dialogue, so they just won't do it. Like, that'll be a thing they take from the Zelda series.
The other thing, though, is, like, Dynasty Warriors games are about being a general on a field of generals, where, like...
So you totally play as Ganondorf. Like, you're going to play... Oh, Zelda, you mean, like, Link won't... He won't have a lot of friends.
Link doesn't team up with anyone, usually.
He's all solo.
He's riding
fairies.
It's also called High. I mean, even the temporary name is Hyrule Warriors, but that would make me think there are other characters in the Zelda franchise that they could pull. They could pull in Sheik.
I wonder if the whole reason why they're making this game is actually like a lever that they knew they could always pull if they needed money.
Well,
because there's no like they're very popular. Like the Warriors games are very popular in Japan. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like the reason why they would like I can see attaching a name to a Warriors game if you're looking to boost that brand in some way. But we're talking about Zelda here. There's no boosting of the brand.
Zelda's not as big in Japan as it is here.
Oh, really?
Like Skyward Sword got outsold by it didn't have a great first week in Japan. I think it actually was outsold by a Warriors game. But I think it's just Zelda is the one that fits the best for of all their franchises for a Warriors game.
Yeah. And I feel like if they really needed money, they'd probably put it on the 3DS. They've had Dynasty Warriors on the 3DS and Zelda.
Well, I mean, if they're looking at it in terms of we want money and we also want to sell Wii U.
Right. I think it is just that. It's just them being like, and I think you're right. Like they're like, we can always like Koei is on hold on the phone with us at all times to ask for Link.
That's the weirdest thing to me is that Nintendo, or unfortunate, is that Nintendo, they desperately, like, they're in the mood to pay for exclusive third-party content on their system or do crossovers with third parties and have them develop it to make exclusive content for it, which you need. You need exclusives like that. You need to get third parties on board. But they're only doing it with Japanese companies. They did it with Sonic Lost Worlds, Shin Megami Tensei, Fire Emblem, and Hyrule Warriors now. Like, Atlas, Sega, Capcom, Namco.
Bayonetta 2.
Koei. Yeah, and Platinum. They're making all these deals, but only with Japanese companies, which that's not going to get them success in the West. Like, I love those Japanese games. I love that they are sponsoring... Like Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem is like the dream game I never knew I wanted and never expected to exist. And yet, they won't give them any success in America with that stuff.
It's also interesting to me that, like, if they're going to third parties, like, hey, you're a third party. We really want you to make a game for the Wii U. Here is our first party IP.
Yeah.
Don't bring a new IP. God, no. Take one of the ones we already know.
If you look back on Soul Calibur 2, Soul Calibur 2 is the multi-platform game, and it sold the best on the GameCube because it had Link, and Nintendo fans bought a thing that a Nintendo dude was in. Mm-hmm. Nintendo games sell on Nintendo, even if Nintendo doesn't make them, so that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, and I almost wonder if this is sort of and it could end up being a bad thing for the future, if whether or not, is Nintendo going to kind of not completely, but give up on winning in America this time around? Like, are they just going to be like, well, we can still sell all of our games in America, and it'll still, in the end, we're not going to die. We'll just sell, like, over the course of its lifetime, we'll sell, like, 25 or 30 million Wii Us because people will eventually buy it when we release a Zelda and stuff. But if we focus in on what Japanese gamers want, we can do good enough.
Yeah.
So it'll be like the Saturn in the U.S. then.
Or more like the GameCube, which Henry pointed out before.
Was the GameCube, yeah. Which
that's
I,
right, that's right.
I think the ethnocentrism of it is just that they, for the past generation, they tried to appeal to the West, like all these different Japanese developers to appeal to the West. They got mocked by the Western audiences, and deservedly so, when they made shitty games that were like, oh, you like blonde guys that murder people, right? Like, here you go. Like, nobody bought them. And so now companies like Capcom and Konami and Sega have just treated them as separate businesses. Like, Capcom has announced 14 titles a few months ago, all only in Japan, mostly on mobile or PC devices. Like, it just seems to be them throwing up their hands like, look, F you, America. We don't care. And they're you like, don't like our games? Yeah. We're sick of you.
And when they'll have their few big projects that go to both, they'll still be like, all right, Resident Evil, that's a lever they can pull. But for the most part, when it comes to like the things they actually care about, they're just like, they're giving up. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Seems like it.
But here's a game to move on from current events. Mm-hmm. That it's very obvious Nintendo needs right now. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. Lucas, you played it.
I did indeed. I played as all three of DK's buddies. You got Donkey Kong, of course. You got Diddy, who returns from Returns.
Diddy returns.
Diddy?
Dixie, who...
Dixie, she returns.
Yeah.
She returns.
And then you got Cranky Kong.
Dixie wasn't in the last one.
She hasn't been playable since three.
Yes. Yeah, Did I say that?
I thought. I think Tom's. I was just Tom's inflection
Tom's just
made it
getting in my grill here.
I'm just saying.
She returns.
She returns. She comes back.
She's a pre-existing character. She's back.
Hear it again.
But
for
yeah,
the first time.
I got hands on with about I think five levels, and it was great stuff. I liked. So I played Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D as my first exposure to the game. And that had no waggle, which was a godsend, because having seen what is required to make precision jumps...
Like you're beating
on
the
Wii. Yes. Yeah. Like, that's bull. But on Wii U, you got the gamepad. So you can play with a Wii Wiimote and Nunchuck, but you don't have to this time, which is great.
And you probably shouldn't.
You really shouldn't. The Pro Controller feels amazing.
So I think everyone in America and Japan and Europe is wondering the same thing.
What's that?
How does Cranky play? It's obvious that Nintendo knows.
I was wondering.
So basically, that's all anyone cares about.
I want to know.
Nintendo must have, or the guys at Retro Studios must have been like, hey, we really like DuckTales on NES.
Yep.
Let's take this exact mechanic and give it to Cranky.
We've got an old guy with a cane. Let's make him a
one-to-one. It's just one-to-one.
He pogos around off deadly spikes.
Yes.
So admittedly, the pogo mechanic is one of the better mechanics in games right now,
if not the
only.
It's
good. The only thing that I have trouble getting used to, and this happens to me when I play the original as well, is repeatedly tapping A. Mm-hmm. I wish I could just hold it down and he would pogo let go. But no, every jump, every impact and upward momentum, you got to press A.
Yeah, I always think that too, because in Mario games, if you do a jump on a Goomba and it'll get you, or like off a Koopa's head, you keep holding down A and you'll go up higher and then you can land on another one and keep staying up.
That just feels natural.
Yeah.
So when they made a Mario 3D World, Peach is the easy character to play because she can float. And in New Super Luigi U, Nabbit was the easy character. So we were discussing earlier about how Nintendo is trying to make sure that their games have a way to play if you're for easy
adult.
Mode. Do you think that Cranky with his pogo stick is that character?
So not at all. I think it's the exact opposite. I think he's the hard mode character.
Oh, okay.
And Donkey Kong, the Retro Studio Donkey Kong games are like the originals in that they're crazy hard.
Yeah.
Like with anybody.
They really are. We you and I played a similar mix of them a few months ago in a demo, and that game is really hard.
Yeah.
Like they don't let up
and
on
I like
you
it.
At all.
Yeah. I love it. And Diddy and Dixie exactly are they're kind of soften that difficulty because they let you readjust. They both can hover in the air, so they let you readjust where you're trying to land on a platform. Cranky Kong doesn't do that. Like, you make a jump, you better hope you stick the landing because there's no wiggle room at all.
So it's a commitment.
Yeah. So it's
you're in a commitment with Cranky Kong.
Essentially, you're into older gorillas. but yeah,
I feel like Tom would have said something there if he didn't think that nodding was the appropriate
if
response.
If he wasn't looking at his Pete's coffee and teacup like he wishes he could refill it with his mind.
I may have zoned out there for a second.
Oh, absolutely, Tom. We're talking about a platformer number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Nintendo game number two. Yeah, you're checked the freak out.
I am checked up. I was thinking about other things and didn't work these things.
But in any case, Cranky Kong seems like he'll be a good character for speedrunning. Like, because you can jump on surfaces that would otherwise kill you, he can just sort of bounce all over the place. And it's pretty cool. I also played the multiplayer, which lets the second player just take DK's buddy and control them as...
That's
as
how the first one was. And it was the worst way to play the game. By
that would have gone on our top seven, too. Like, 'cause you depend... It makes you shittier. Like, you depend on Diddy to help you finish a jump, and then your friend is like, nah, I'm just going to jump over here. Like, I need your fucking rockets. Yeah. Go get over here.
I think my hatred towards Retro's Donkey Kong Country games is because I've only played them co-op.
That'll do it. That will definitely do it.
When we did that demo, I did it all single player, and I got so angry with you. You actually afterwards told me, like, maybe you shouldn't get so swearing and mad in front of at a demo.
It was just funny because the Nintendo people are, you know, they're kind of like the Disney of video games. So they want everyone to be happy all the time. So when Henry was, you know, getting a little hot under the collar, the PR people were like, good try.
I watched you slam some controllers during a Dark Souls 2 demo, too. You do need to cool down. I've been meaning to tell you about this, and I think now's the time.
I was mad I had to play Dark Souls 2.
You said, I don't even like this game.
Oh, man.
But
when are we
Pearls
Let's
before
talk about Dark Souls 2.
No. No.
Can we do that?
No.
Are we still talking about Nintendo?
Get out of here, Tom. It's Nintendo O'Clock.
What's next?
But let me, real quick, another really cool thing about Tropical Freeze is, so the Donkey Kong Country Returns was all on DK Island, and as such, pretty much all the environments had to do with, like, jungles or caves, all the stuff we've seen in Donkey Kong games.
Yeah.
But in Tropical Freeze, it's multiple islands. So they can theme them around whatever they feel like. So there's some pretty cool deviations there, like an autumn level where it's like you have like Viking steins as part of the level.
That's cool.
As platforms. And there's a level that's like all jelly cubes, which that's inventive.
It is inventive.
And it makes jumping really difficult.
Maybe I'll give this one another go, except not co-op.
You should. Don't play co-op, because co-op is... kind of fun if you do what they recommended of, like, if you have a younger sibling, you can just have them jump on your back. So it'll be one person controlling all the movement, and then the helper can, like, shoot peanuts or gumballs.
Right.
Or chattering teeth if you're Cranky Kong.
He should not waste them. But yeah, when I played it, it was... And also, the other problem was, like, the minecart levels with two-player. If you died, you'd lose two lives.
That's pretty
what?
Cool.
I remember being so angry at that.
So the items that they had in Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D are coming back. So you can buy stuff that'll
baby mode items.
I will admit to using some of them just because I was like, man, this level is giving me grief. Let me just float through it a little bit. There's no shame in it.
There's a little shame in it. It's a lot of shame.
Don't you feel shame if you, when the, in Mario games lately, when
the gold,
Tanuki suit shows up, you're like, am I doing that bad?
I refer to it as the loser suit.
Yeah.
And I feel like Zelda, the most recent Zelda, has a loser suit of sorts, because at one point they give you those glasses. And the glasses exist solely to be like, oh, you're stuck? Here's what you're supposed to be doing. And I like Nintendo's recent strategy of just giving you loser suits when they don't think you're doing well.
We'll make you feel slightly guilty.
That wasn't too bad, because at least it costs play coins.
All right, Tom is so disinterested right there.
I just noticed the video.
Quick question, though. Is there a cameo by Mario?
I didn't see any references to Nintendo characters, but...
Funky Kong's in it.
Funky Kong is in it. My boy. One of the best 16-bit themes in Donkey Kong Country 2. Amazing. I would sing it, but you would all just look at me like I'm insane.
Do it.
Bow, bow, bow.
Bow. Take me to bow, 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 Funkin' Town.
Bow, 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 bow. Woo! And then it's a sample.
Woo! All right, let's move on. Jumping over to reviews. And the only review we have this week is The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 1, All That Remains, which came out this week.
Isn't that an album name?
All That Remains?
Seeing as how there have been probably 1 million albums to come out,
All That Remains.
I would say it's a pretty good. I bet you Telltale has not had an episode name that hasn't been an album name of an indie rock band. But yeah, first episode playing as Clementine.
Mm-hmm. You are Clementine.
And aged Clementine.
Yes, a little aged, like
she's 60
a year.
Years old.
Okay.
And I was really skeptical when they announced that because I did not want to play as Clementine because I thought that it was better that she was like almost like the fly on the wall while all this stuff is going down.
So did you ever see the sequel to Chronicles of Riddick?
No.
Okay. Well, the sequel to Chronicles of Riddick.
Wait, are you talking about the Chronicles of Riddick, which was the sequel to Pitch Black?
No, I think he's talking about the Chronicles of Riddick, which was the sequel to Pitch Black.
You're talking about Riddick.
I'm talking about Riddick, right? I saw that movie.
So in the original, there's this little girl, and you got to protect her. In the sequel, she's been raped by like a million dudes and is now super hard. Is
Wait,
that Clementine?
No.
No.
Okay.
Good God, Tom.
No.
Rain it in.
Okay.
Wow. You don't know everything that has happened to Clementine from the end of season one to season two, but you know enough. You've seen if you've seen screenshots, you know that she ends. This will be spoiler, as light spoilery as possible. You know she ends up with some characters from previous episodes.
Seedy sorts.
Yes. No. Not where I was going with this.
Can you stop trying to take in that direction, Tom?
So there are some good. It ties into the old episodes well, but not a lot. There were only a few mentions to previous episodes. Mm-hmm.
So if I may ask, and this is kind of a spoiler, so
if it's a spoiler, I will not answer it. Or I may just nod or something to you.
It's not a spoiler for season two, I would say.
Okay.
But at the end
does
of season
does what happens
one,
at the end, it only it, nothing that has happened in season one, including what I think you're saying, is actually
referenced.
Is if it's referenced, it's just in dialogue. Mm. It doesn't actually change anything yet.
Okay.
The developers have told me that the reason that episode one of season two is very light on that is because they figure a lot of people are still deciding if they're like, is it, do I care about playing on the, like, I played the other one on my Xbox 360. Do I want to play this on Steam? Do I want to make the jump to iPad? So this is almost like a palate cleanser where there are references to the previous episodes and your choices will carry over from season one and 400 days, but it's not a huge deal.
Okay.
If you,
it's not a game breaker.
It's not a game breaker. Okay. My saves were not transferred over when I played.
I was going to ask, did they do the thing where it's like, hey, if you for some reason don't have your save file, did you do these things?
No, they don't do that. Oh, I wish they did. It drives me crazy that they don't.
Well, I told you my Mass Effect 3 story, where I played Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2, and then when I got to Mass Effect 3, I had to start over, and it made for a significantly worse experience.
Right. This game, in episode 1, I'll say that despite not playing with my save, I don't think that it made for a worse experience at all. If it was, it was things I didn't get. Mm-hmm. I think it's more along the lines of there are going to be instances where, like, somebody will say, like, Clem, who's this person you just referenced? And the dialogue choices will be like, oh, he did this, he did this, he did this. So it actually kind of organically lets you retell the story.
That's kind of cool.
But it's not a huge part. But overall, I was really impressed with it because even though gameplay-wise it's not much different, you're still walking around and interacting with the environment like you would in a point-and-click adventure. And when things get hectic, you're using QuickTime events. The QuickTime events are a little different. They're a lot less like pound on the button, which was pretty much all you did in. You didn't do a lot more than that in season one.
I remember more like reticle aiming.
There's not really any of that. There's more. That made sense in season one. You have a hammer. There's a zombie. You are a grown ass man. You're going to bludgeon. In this one, you're still a little girl. So usually it's like you're sneaking by things. If you're running through like a forest away from zombies or something, it's more like press in a direction to like dodge out of the way. Or if a zombie's attacking you, sometimes you're still kicking them, but other times it's like lean left and right over and over again to gain momentum to like throw them into a spike or something
cool.
like that.
Hmm.
But the main difference is in the dialogue, because in season one, Lee was an adult who would just say, like, we're doing this, and everyone would let him do that. Clementine's a little girl. No one listens to her. So what your dialogue wow. means is much different in terms of how you're interacting, and it's less about shaping. No, Tom.
Aww.
Is it the same voice actress?
Yes. There are instances. No, but it's funny because there are instances where, like, there's a time where, like, you're trying to convince some people to believe you, and the dialogue options are, like, you can, like, tell them the truth about what happened, tell them what you think they want to hear, or just give them, like start crying is an option sometimes.
Wow.
So it kind of lets you, and depending on what you do is how they'll talk to you later in the game. It's very cool, has a lot of interesting surprises. Definitely, I was a big fan of, I wasn't a huge fan of season one, episode one. I thought it was really good. I think this is a better opening, and it's definitely worth trying out.
Would you look down your nose upon someone like me who will probably wait until all five episodes of the season are out before playing?
No.
Because I don't think I could take a three-month wait between chunks.
Yeah, no, I don't... Like, honestly, I'm going to replay them all, but I'm waiting until, like, the second or third episode is out to, like, play through them all again. Because there is something to be said about playing them in a row. Mm-hmm. But if you do want to play them episode by episode, they do a good job of leaving you with cliffhangers. Like, there's a big cliffhanger at the end of this one in terms of, like, in, like, the next time on Walking Dead, there's a reveal that I'm, like, I'm really pissed that I have to wait 3 months to find out what this means.
I always try to skip those if I can, because it is torturous to be, like, not only will I just want to see that part when I get to it, but it also lets me, in my head, piece together what I'm probably going to end.
Yeah, I can actually tell you what the one in this one is without it's not, because it's not really a spoiler.
Okay.
But there's just a part where, like, it's showing the next time on, and Clementine looks off screen at someone and is surprised to see them, like, she, like, that person, she, like, it could be someone
you.
From episode one. It could be, yeah, she gives, like, a huh, you, and it's like, it could be somebody you met 20 seconds earlier, or it could be like, hey, it's Robot Lee, how you doing, how we doing, everyone, let's do this, I'm in charge again, boy. Like, for all I know, so... It's and now I'm just like, fuck, it's going to be like 2.5 months.
Yeah, I liked in Fable 1, in its cliffhanger, that it they were almost all about what your choices were. Like,
yeah.
It would be a character, you'd have one character that was like, hey, why'd you grab me and not him? Another character like, why'd you lie to me and not tell me that? That's what I saw. Yeah, I just don't. Fable 2, Episode 2 should have been out by now.
It's coming soon, I've heard. It's
supposed to be every 2 months. It's also just weird the way Telltale does it, of like, they say, like, you hear nothing about a release date for forever, and then 3 days before it comes out, they're like, hey, it's out next week.
Well,
it's
honestly,
only because Microsoft, mostly the time, Microsoft just won't give them a date.
Honestly, like, I think I'm allowed to say, but it's just, and it's not throwing anyone under the bus, but it's like, they have to wait, and they want to do a simultaneous release on Steam, PS3, and Xbox 360. And all three of the companies need to have totally separate review processes. So they need to find the earliest date they know that all three people will say yes. So it's like they need to wait until, like, Microsoft is 100%, yeah, we can do this Tuesday. And Sony says it. And Microsoft and Valve says it. And if one of them says no, they need to push it back. So they want to wait until all of their ducks are in a row before giving any hint of a release date.
Do you think they do it like they present them to these companies in bundles, or do you think they do it?
They absolutely do one at a time. They are like, it's like,
yes.
whenever you interview somebody at Telltale, they'll be super honest. He's like, yeah, I'm finishing writing episode 3, and it's like, how are you finishing writing episode 3 if episode 2 isn't even out? Like, if episode 2 is coming out soon, shouldn't you guys be like almost done with episode 3? They actually described it as it's almost like South Park, in that they finish an episode a week before it ships. So it's a different style of game design, but yeah, definitely check it out. Or wait until they're all out and see if they all stick together. But if you are
interested, worth playing.
Worth playing, absolutely. Hopefully the rest are as well. So we're going to take a quick break and get back with the community segment. Welcome back to episode 69 of Radio Radar, jumping into
69!
The...
69! I can't drive!
69.
I think listeners
know we were peaking.
Oh, okay. I think listeners will appreciate that you did the exact same joke Lucas did.
Yep.
Did I?
Yeah. Of course you did.
See, I had no idea. I was at my desk.
You are of one mind.
Doing important shiz.
What do you think about that?
Lucas
Your
and I being of one mind.
Your mind is the same as his mind.
It's disturbing to other people, but Lucas and I have spent enough time together.
You have a special arrangement.
We have a special thing going on.
Not unlike old army buddies.
Yeah.
You bonded in the trenches
exactly.
of internship.
Mm. At PC Gamer. And Gavin Townsley was the other intern there, and Lucas and I would prattle on for hours and hours with our secret code and talk, and Gavin would want to kill himself by the end of
every single
day.
He never fully integrated into that hive mind.
No, not quite. Some days he would jump in there, but I think he's a much healthier man now that he is not next to Lucas and I.
Doing a lot of yoga.
Yeah.
Yoga.
Yeah.
Yep.
He
playing the guitar.
Posts a lot of Instagram pics of
his feet on the beach.
His feet, yeah, and on yoga mats and healthy vegetables he's eating. I love you, Gavin. Guy's awesome.
Yes, he does.
I do.
I was about to malign Gavin, but then I realized that I didn't dislike Gavin anymore.
Now that you actually met him?
Yeah.
You're friends with Gavin now?
I'm not friends with him.
you just don't hate him anymore.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I would still never
invite him to Magic Night.
Yeah.
Well, since we're not doing Magic Nights anymore.
Oh, we're doing Magic
deeply
Nights.
Deeply offended.
It's coming back.
It is not coming back.
I have an
it's
entire
be,
I have
what?
Packs.
Right. We've after, had those packs for months.
I'm totally down
point.
For doing it again in January.
All right.
After Brian left, you guys lost a lot of your enthusiasm for it.
Not
well, it's because there was something fun about somebody who hated Magic so much playing so often. Yeah. And Brian was great at that.
Yeah. R.I.P., Brian.
Community segment. No laptop today because it's the end of the year and freak it.
Can we sing
but
it?
Or, next year, we're going to bring back all the soundtracks, but we could sing
wait,
it.
Wait, so we didn't play?
We're holding that for next year. Holding it for the new episode.
Tooth. Radio Radar Community Segment. Greg
Brow. No, not bad. I like yours starts with a B. Brow.
It's just spelled BROW.
Yeah. More of a shout.
Yeah. So I guess last week we talked Game of the Year stuff. So the week before that, we were just getting into the 24-hour marathon. And so we had... If you had to play a game for 24 hours right now, what game would you pick? Turkey on Rye said, I've been neglecting my Wii U backlog since I've been playing through all of the big 360 games and finally decided a few weeks ago to work my way through LOZ Skyward Sword. I could totally play 24 hours of that, wife permitting, because I fall into the let me do this one last task / errand / side quest vicious cycle every time I get to play it.
Yeah, that'll do that. I feel like I'm 12 hours from beating it, and I don't think I'm ever going to. Not because it's bad, just because if you step away from a Zelda game for too long, it's rough.
How did you feel when I said wife permitting?
I was actually just thinking about whether I should say I was at a game of League recently, and someone said like, "Oh man, my girlfriend's so pissed." And then literally every single person, including me, on my team was like, "Yeah, so is mine." And I'm like, "It's probably League related."
Let's
see. Destroying relationships, that game.
Reigns Gadar said, having lost a solid 16 hours into Assassin's Creed 4 this weekend and not denting it, I could easily spend 24 hours glued to Black Flag, especially since I've just gotten the Jackdaw into a menacing level right before bed last night, causing me to forget the story in lieu of trashing Manowars while their gunboats, like their gunboats. Who needs to talk to Blackbeard in the north when you can terrorize fort after fort in the South Seas? And maybe, just maybe, if I played for 24 hours straight, I would be fortunate enough to encounter the White Whale social event and take down Moby Dick.
Yeah, there's a White Whale in the game, and it's apparently like the viral achievements where only if one of your, like the developers started with it, and only if your friends have friends that have seen it will it even have a chance to show
Fun
up in your
fact,
game.
Mm. I got the White Whale.
Did you actually fight it?
Oh, I fought it and I killed it.
How was it?
It was incredible. I have like 32 spears, harpoons, and my rowboat is like fully leveled up, and I barely lived through it. It was incredible.
I have the White Whale on my desk right now.
Do you?
Yep.
What White Whale?
Moby Dick.
Oh, the card game.
The card game.
I saw that. Was that a Kickstarter thing?
It's a Kickstarter.
We'll have to play that.
What happens when you kill it?
You get an achievement, and you get the White Whale, like, blubber and skin
like
and
crazy.
All that.
Does it give you more than usual?
It's worth, like, 20,000.
That's nice.
But there's something for getting, like, seven of them. So I don't think it's as rare as...
That's a shame.
Yeah. So, yeah, when I got the one, I was like, my life is complete now.
Complete.
But it's like, you can get something for getting seven. Pedo Bear Claw says, I could easily spend 24 hours playing Team Fortress 2 Dust Bowl map because I'm a horrible person. I know I've had a few sessions on Dust Bowl that easily passed 12 hours. So what's 12 more?
That's crazy.
Love
Dust Bowl's a good map.
I need to play more Team Fortress 2.
You do.
That is a fantastic
game. No, it's a game where if you haven't played it in a while and you could have jumped back in, it's going to be a lot different than you remember.
Right?
Yeah.
Magan96, I think it would be Gran Turismo 5. I finished all the races in 5, including the 24-hour races. I know now Nuremberging like the back of my hand, and I wouldn't want it any other way. What is the 24-hour races? Is that
I don't know about.
Mm-hmm. 24 hours of races? My God. Or maybe it's just 24 one-hour races.
Maybe.
And probably not in a row.
Probably not in a row.
I mean, it's an Ironman.
Then it's NASCAR.
You got to race for 24 hours.
Yeah. Somber Owl said, Rezogun, so addicting.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
24 hours
Much
of
addicting.
Rezogun would be pretty mind-numbing.
Very
by
voxels.
Amaze.
Let's see. How would you pronounce this guy's name, Coop?
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
God damn it. Now, there's a lot of missing letters. On there. Dance Central, so I can learn to dance and impress the girls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. So
that's I'll give you that. Very
as long as you, no, not just dance.
He's getting like something out of it.
A dance marathon, like, you would collapse.
For 24 hours.
That's the whole point. That was that movie. They shoot horses, don't they?
They shoot horses.
Don't they? That was the name of it.
The name of the film is, quote,
They Shoot Horses, Don't They? Unquote.
I've seen, like, those old-timey, like, where they have dance marathons, and, like, as long as you're standing and touching, or do you have to be touching the
person? You have to be moving.
You have to be, like,
step back.
And you can see, like, by the end, people are just, like, barely moving at all, and then judges are calling them out. I wonder what the longest one ever went for.
I don't know.
This guy should go for it. Easy peasy.
Pumpkin squeezy.
Oh, it's this guy again, and I mispronounce his name every time. Shingruken? Henry, help me out here.
Shigeroken?
Let me see.
Shigeroken.
Well, he called me out on the 24.
It's Shigeru Miyamoto's first name.
Shigeroken. I think it's Shigeroken.
Shigeroken.
Yeah. He says, I would absolutely pick Persona 4 Golden when I first bought it along with my Vita, basically played for 24 hours straight. It was one of the greatest gaming experiences I've ever had.
Mm.
Such a good time.
Some good carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
And
the winner.
Hours of that won't even get you a third of the way.
The winner this week is Azriel 37.
Azriel.
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 37.
That's the name of
the
cat.
League.
The cat in Smurfs. Gargamel's
the character
cat.
In League.
Gargamel's
that's the
cat.
Only reason you know. Mm-hmm. He says, he or she. Mm-hmm. Already done it, LOL. Got Super Mario RPG and Chrono Trigger for Christmas the same year. Started playing Super Mario around 6 or so that night, and the next thing I know, it's the next day, and I'm seeing triple. I can't really think of any newer game gen that has grabbed hold of me like that, or looks like it's going to. Mm-hmm. So, congratulations. You are the winner of this week's Question of the Week. Contact me, GregH@GamesRare.com, and maybe I'll send you a game that will grab you like these.
You should send him League of Legends.
Yeah.
I'll send him a reference code to your account.
Yeah. Greg PCG password. I won't do it.
GASP.
There's
asterisk GASP. Yeah.
Question of the week this week. Have any ideas or are we going to.
Is this the last one before.
Holiday related.
Yeah, is this the last one before the new year?
Yeah.
Should we do
what's your,
New
what's
Year's?
The, maybe what's the. Be- oh, there'll be a New Year's week one. Maybe what's your. What's
there will?
Yeah, we'll be back on the second.
If you had a week in which you didn't have to do anything other than play a video game.
Well, that sounds like
which
the
game?
We just,
that's
like pretty much what we did for the 24-hour one.
Fuck.
How about just, have you ever received,
so
I don't know if we've done this before, but like, do you have any good memories about receiving a game as a gift or anything like that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do.
That's a good one.
I have one.
Go for it.
My grandmother is sometimes not the nicest woman,
mm-hmm.
so I don't really expect her to get me in terms of understanding me. And one year, when I was in the middle of not speaking to her, she lived with us. So if your grandmother lived with you, you know what's going on in this story.
Mm-hmm.
She showed up with a Super Smash Brothers Melee for me that she bought at the store the day it came out. And
wow. Now, how much do you think that she just went to the counter and said, "What are all the kids playing?"
I think I was just talking about it a lot, but oh, still, okay. It meant a lot. I remember it meaning a lot to me.
Hmm. That's sweet.
That's adorable.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
Well, I think we all should have an answer, right?
Mine was for PlayStation.
PlayStation 1?
Yeah, first PlayStation. My mom hated that I played video games. She was like, "Don't ask me for video games for your birthday or Christmas or whatever. I won't get them for you. I'll get you clothes." Man. And I was like, "Oh, man, I really wanted this game." And then Christmas came, and I looked, and she got me the game, and she said, "I was just kidding."
Psych! Oh, man.
Here's a little emotional abuse.
What was the game?
Final Fantasy VIII.
Nice.
Nice.
Let's see. I have a lot of memories.
Just any good gaming gift memories.
Let's see. Okay, so this would have been 98. I had been looking forward to Ocarina of Time all year, but I did not save up any money. And so I had to ask for a Christmas gift, and the wait was driving me crazy. But then once I finally got it, I did, like, marathon it the whole time. And the only thing that bugged me about it was that I had, like, two friends who'd already beaten it, and they would come over. They came over during Christmas break and were like, Oh, that, you know where you're supposed to go? It's over there. That's where the dungeon is. Like, shut up!
Ruining it for you.
Yes.
Ruining the Nintendo magic.
But just looking at that, the owl meeting the owl for the first time when he turns his head all the way upside down, I'm like, I'm in the future. This is amazing. Tom?
I got an NES for Christmas once. That was a gift.
Congratulations.
That was a gift I got pertaining to video games for Christmas.
One Christmas, a long time ago at this point, my dad put together like a scavenger hunt of gifts.
Wow.
So like, there was probably like 15 gifts under the tree for me, and I was like, holy shit, this is the greatest Christmas of all time. Turns out each one had a hint for the scavenger hunt.
Wow.
And
I imagine by like the seventh gift, you're like, are you kidding me?
And I was like, this better pay off. It did pay off because the scavenger hunt led me all over my house. And then we lived on a plot of land.
A plot
out
of
in
land.
The wine country. And so we had 5 acres.
20,000 acres.
Your estate.
On the 5 acres adjacent, my grandparents had the house there.
And you were just biding time.
And so there was a stairwell that connected the two. They lived on a slightly higher elevation.
That's where you came from.
The wine cellar.
Yeah.
I want to hear the wine cellar.
So the end the
is
end
your
of the
dad
story,
a doomsday prepper?
He is not.
And is that second house just his bunker?
It is not. My grandparents live there.
They're the ones with the bunker.
So anyways, it led me all over my house, up the stairs to my grandparents' house, all over their house, and in the back room, a magnificent new gaming computer.
Nice.
And thus began my love affair with PC gaming.
And that was the greatest 21st birthday
ever. there was one Christmas, one of the last Christmases I believed in Santa Claus was, so the way Santa would do things at our house was that there wouldn't be many gifts under the tree, just my brother and I would mark, like, he'd say, well, I have the couch and I have the ottoman. And on each of those is where our gifts would appear in the morning, where Santa would put them. And they came to this one morning, and I had the stuff on my on the ottoman, and then my brother had nothing on the couch except a little thing of coal. And
wow.
It was a thing from Santa that said, like,
"You're a real
you've been
piece
a bad,
of shit.
You've been a bad boy." But then it turned, but then it was, then Santa had like a PS, oh, look, but look in the kitchen. And it was a trick. Like it was hiding behind like the kitchen island. All his toys were in there, but it was meant to be like my parents kept saying like, well, so Santa took it easy on you this year, but you better be more behaved, Santa. Like,
nice.
I don't think it really worked. It was forgotten soon enough.
It was forgotten by January 2nd.
Did I ever tell the Christmas star story?
No.
On the podcast? So I grew up religious.
Uh-huh.
Family went to church all the time.
All the time.
So growing up, you know, obviously there's the star that appears above Bethlehem.
That's what you do.
It's what you do.
Dear God, it's what you do.
Yeah. So every Christmas Eve, we'd go out into the backyard.
Look for stars.
And my dad would be like, there it is. There's the Christmas star. It appears on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. It's the same star that led, you know, the wise men to see Jesus.
Frankincense and myrrh.
And I was like, that's incredible. And I was...
God is amazing.
I was how old was I? I think I was 18, 19. I'm standing in the backyard of my house. My family's in the kitchen. My grandparents, everyone's over. And it's a cloudy night. Uh-huh. I'm just like, man, this sucks. I walk back in, and I'm like, it's too cloudy out there to see the Christmas star. Every single member of my family turns at me with their mouth open and goes, "It's what?" And I was like, it's too cloudy to see the Christmas star tonight. The star that appears only one night out of the year. It's too damn cloudy.
It's too damn cloudy.
I can't see it.
It's too damn cloudy.
And my family is just like crying laughing because I believed it.
Yeah.
Till I was 18.
Wow.
That there was a star that showed up one time a year. And I started putting it all together and I was like, you know, maybe they would like say stuff like on the internet and like maybe in the newspaper of where you should look to see the Christmas star.
It's like an eclipse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then I started realizing that didn't happen.
No,
and
no.
So I still go out and I find the Christmas star every Christmas Eve.
And you give it the finger.
And I say,
You're out there tomorrow, aren't you?
I refuse to go out the next night to make sure it's still there. But my family still berates me to this day.
Right. As they should.
For having childlike innocence.
Weird.
Well, I think when you're 18, it's not childlike anymore.
And it's just incompetence.
Incompetence.
So that's it for episode 69. Be sure to answer that question of the week in the comments or send an email to greg.h@gamesradar.com.
Yep.
Like us on Facebook and Twitter. And have a happy holidays, everyone.
Go check out the Christmas star. You'll see it.
We're not going to be here next week.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to be here next week.
Peace out.
Bye.
Happy New Year.